Welcome to Sacramento Central Seventh-day Adventist Church. We're so grateful that you're joining us in Central Study Hour, wherever you are and however you're tuning in. As we begin our Central Study Hour today, I would like to share a Bible verse. This is a blessing that Moses gave to the people of Israel before his death. Deuteronomy 33 verse 27 says, "The eternal God is your refuge, and his everlasting arms are under you. He drives out the enemy before you. He cries out, 'Destroy them.'" Maybe at this moment you feel your burden is so heavy as you bear it all along. But remember, we have God, and you can lean on God's everlasting arms where you can feel the comfort and secure. Let's sing Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. This song was requested by Rochelle Lising of Philippines. Please join us in singing hymn number 469. Let's sing all verses. Us to let go and let God. Thank you so much, Rochelle, for the hymn request that you sent us. If you have a hymn request that you want to share with us so we can sing together, please visit our church website at saccentral.org. Click Contact Us, then scroll down to CSH Hymn Requests. Let us know your name, where you're from, your email address, and the title of the hymn, and we'll be happy to sing your hymn request on the upcoming Sabbath. Let's sing another song request with title Jesus Loves Me. This song was requested by Nwosu Obina of Nigeria. Please join us in singing the hymn number 190. Let's sing all verses.
Jesus loves me. Away my sin, let me
Yes, Jesus loves me and you because the Bible tells us so. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for all the blessings that you have given to us, Lord. Thank you for your love and thank you for your promise that you will be our refuge and strength and we can lean on you in your everlasting arms. At this moment, Lord, we gather here to worship you. Send us your Holy Spirit to open our hearts, our mind, so that we understand your will. Bless our brother Jim Tayak, who will share your words today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Central Study Hour today will be led by Jim Tayak, lesson number 13, Wait in the Lord. I hope you have a blessed study.
Well, I too would like to welcome every one of you to our Central Study Hour. And wherever you are right now watching us, or even those who are here, I mean, thank you for coming. I really appreciate that you join us. And I find this lesson exciting, lesson 13. It's the last lesson of our quarterly, the Book of Psalms. I don't know if you too find it interesting, especially the title, it's Wait on the Lord. And just thinking about that word, wait, is it exciting to wait?
Yes.
Is it? Yes. That's probably if you really are expecting something really good, right? It can be exciting, it can be disappointing too, isn't it? But we know what we are waiting for when it comes to the Word of God, if we are talking about, right? Well, before we get into that, I'd like to once again remind everybody that you can have an audio copy or a video copy by requesting a CD or DVD for those of you. And just call us at 916-457-6511 or email us at csh@saccentral.org. Make sure you mention offer C202413, okay? Specify whether it's a CD or DVD that you want. And don't forget to put in on your address so we can get that to you. So let's go back to our lesson today. Again, this lesson is an interesting one. When I first looked at the lesson title, it's A Wait on the Lord, I said to myself, I don't know if I'm the right person to talk about this or teach the lesson. Wait on the Lord. Because you know why? Because I know that waiting involves patience, right? And I probably am not an impatient person. I know I'm impatient. A lot of people say that you are very patient. But I know myself. Then I realized, well, I'm not really alone. All of us don't like sometimes waiting, right? So this lesson is for me, not only for me, it's all for us. Interestingly, our Sabbath school author, our lesson author, didn't choose the last chapter of the Book of Psalms to discuss for our last lesson. And the Book of Psalms, as you probably know, is already, it's 150 chapters involved, and the psalmist who organized, whoever organized this sequence of the chapters, puts the 150th chapter, the last, and you know what it's all about? Guess what it is? It's about praising the Lord. Well, actually, the Psalms is a lot of about praising the Lord, right? But it's particularly in the conclusion of the whole book, it's about praising the Lord. And yet, our lesson author chose a different topic, which is waiting on the Lord. Well, I guess because she knew that most of us is that what we need, if not all of us, right? As we have learned from our past lessons, Psalms is all about hymns. Well, the word psalm is hymns and songs, right? But they are really prayers songs. And prayer in the sense of praise, not simply praying for things that I need personally. I need this and I need that. Lord, give me this. Lord, give me that. While there are some things like that, but it's more focused on what the Lord has done, right? That's probably what you have observed in our lesson. And the praises are focused on two major things: God's works in behalf of his people, and what else? God's justice as well. Sometimes we like to talk about and praise God for all the things that he has done for us, good things that he has done for us, but when he executes judgments, we don't want. We don't praise. But for a Christian who is close to God, those two things are areas for us to really praise the Lord and sing about his goodness, right? Both his goodness and the works that he has done for us, and also his judgments and his justice. Because we know when God executes judgments, it's fair and just, right? Well, waiting. Waiting is a huge theme in the book of Psalms, as you probably have noticed already. In fact, there's one lesson, I think it's lesson 9 or lesson 10, that actually touched that a little bit, on waiting. And not only in the book of Psalms, in fact, throughout the whole scripture, waiting is a huge topic. We probably are familiar with Noah. How long did he wait before he got out of the ark when the whole earth was flooded? Almost over a year. We think about Abraham and Sarai. While they were waxing old, and then the promise was given, okay, you will have a son, right? How long did Abraham wait before the promise was fulfilled? 25 years. We think also of Israel, ancient Israel, who were in slavery in Egypt, and they longed to be delivered from that tyranny in Egypt. And what? How long did they wait before they were delivered? Well, over 400 years, 430 years, scholars have said. And we think of Daniel and those who were exiled in Babylon. How long did Daniel wait before they were got out? 70 years, according to the prophecy of Jeremiah, right? And we think of the Jews also, who waited for the Messiah to come, and they waited for how many years? Hundreds of years. And when they waited, were they excited when the promise were fulfilled? No. As a matter of fact, they rejected what they were waiting for. You see, it's really important what you are really waiting for, right? And the topic of our lesson is waiting on the Lord. Focus mainly on what you are waiting for, the Lord. In your lives today, what are we waiting for? We wait for so many things, right? But
Maranatha.
Yes, especially the Seventh-day Adventist Church. The word Adventist, we wait for what? The coming, the second coming of our Lord. Maranatha, the coming of our Lord. But somehow, like our teacher's edition has pointed out, there are two aspects of waiting. One is anticipation. You anticipate what you wait for. And expectation. It means to say that if you're waiting for something, you cannot wait without expecting it to happen, right? Give an example. If you just... Every time we had a potluck in the camellia room, we line up, we wait until we are cold or we get to the point where we can get our food. Would you be waiting there if you are not expecting that you can get food? Right? So that's just logical. You expect something and you know it will happen. The difficulty is in the anticipation. Oftentimes, there are different kinds of waiting. So we fall in line, we wait for a good job, we wait for appointments some things also that can be terrible when we wait for some lab results, when we go to our doctors and they order lab results. We wait for the result to come out. We don't know what we are expecting for, right? So, before we go into Sunday, I would probably share with you a story. There was this young man with a beautiful wife. He left his beautiful wife in the Philippines and a son who is 3 years old, and to immigrate in America, hoping for a good dream, but he could not find a job with all his the education that he had and all the degrees that he had. He applied to anything that he could grab because he was eager to. He really wanted to have a job because he left his family in the Philippines. He had to send support to the Philippines. So if it will take time for him to get a job, there will be a problem sending money to the Philippines, right? I told you he applied from janitor to scientist and all the things, and he could not find a job. It can be very, very disappointing, right? One time, his brother-in-law said, "I can put you in the office where I work. Say, see me this morning, next morning, and come with everything what you can have, and the employer will interview you." So he dressed up that morning, dressed up with the best thing that he could have, but because he was new to the country, he did not have much. And so he was just in a pants and a polo shirt with short sleeves. And as soon as his brother-in-law saw him, he said, "Where's your necktie?" He said, "Why don't you have a necktie? You need to be presentable." And he said, "Oh." So he took out his necktie and put it on this man, and hoping that by his presentation and after the interview, that will come out beautiful and positive. Only after he was interviewed, he was disappointed. He said, "You are overqualified. We cannot get you." And the man was disappointed. Waiting can actually end up in disappointment. You all know that. We know that, right? Why? Because we don't know that what we wait for is assured, similar to what happened to the Millerites movement, right? They were waiting for the coming of Christ. 1844, what happened? Did Christ come? No. What a disappointment. But here the psalmist is talking about waiting on the Lord. Is there any disappointment if we wait on the Lord? Huh? Is there any disappointment? I remember that song, "There's No Disappointment in Jesus." You see, it depends on what you're waiting for. You see, most of what we're waiting for here on earth, there are no guarantees. But when it comes to God, especially his promises and what he said that he will do, we definitely can be assured. I have a friend who used that word, "Take it to the bank." When God says it, take it to the bank. It's an expression that means, say, you can be assured that it will be fulfilled. And that is what is so exciting about waiting on the Lord. And I don't know about you, if ever you have, when you say you are an Adventist and you're waiting for the coming of Christ, are you really excited? Are you assured that you will be there? Are you assured that he is coming? Do you really believe that he's coming? So it's an expectation. You expect that it will really happen, right? So, but the thing is, the anticipation, as I've said, is what makes it a little more difficult, because waiting is not just simply hanging out and just sitting down. Okay, it will happen, right? Well, let's go before. We're over. Let's go to Sunday's lesson, the call of waiting. Our Sunday's lesson starts with a simple question that's even without reading the verses, the several verses that it puts here. By just the title of it, you can answer the question. What do these texts implore God's people to do? easily without reading them, you can probably say, well, these texts implores us to wait on the Lord, right? Well, it starts with our memory text, Psalm 27, verse 14. Oh, by the way, I'd like to encourage you that I'm glad actually that our lesson calls it a memory text. Before, I call it key text. Now it's memory text. Why? Because we really have to memorize. Because if you don't put it in your heart, what will come out when you really need them, right? I remember when I was growing up, I memorized and could recite the whole book of Genesis. Now that I'm old, for some reason, I lost most of it. I only can recite the first three chapters. But it's good that if you put them in our hearts, in our memory, when the time comes that you need them, right, it will come out. Let's see if we can memorize this one. It says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 27, 14. Can somebody say that? Repeat that? Okay. Without looking at your Bible, let's repeat it. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 27, 14. How easy that is to memorize, right? Yes. Try it. I don't, sometimes, although we may be getting old, it's still good to memorize these things. And I'm so thankful that my dad was an influence to my attempt to memorize the Word of God. And before he passed away, he still can memorize several things from the Scripture. So that's the first verse. See, there's a lot of verses here. We can read them all. I can read them all actually, because so I don't have to flip pages. I wrote them down here, so I just want to read them so that we can focus on the things that these verses are saying. First one is Psalm 27, 14. This is what we just mentioned. Wait on the Lord. What are we waiting for? Well, we wait on the Lord. Okay, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say in the Lord. It repeats it. Now, Psalm 37, 9 and verse 34, it says, rest in the Lord and wait, what? Patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in this way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. For evildoers shall be cut off. But those who wait on the Lord shall inherit the earth. You see, when you see a lot of injustice in the world, you think sometimes the waiting can be unbearable, right? Especially when we focus on them. Things are not done right, particularly here on earth. You see, we are dealing with human beings. They all fail. None of them are perfect. So when they disappoint you, or not only they disappoint, they do evil things, you can fret, you can worry, right? And so your Christianity is challenged. And we who are waiting for the Lord will tend to, why is God allowing all this? Right? We focus on all those negative things, it can discourage us. But the scriptures say, wait on the Lord. Why? Because it says the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall what? Inherit the earth. Now, do we believe that? Is that a sure thing? Is that a guarantee? Is that like what when this young man who went for a job interview and he was saying, oh yeah, he was expecting it to happen and only to be disappointed? Not at all. In fact, in Jesus Christ, in God, everything is guaranteed, especially when he said, those who wait on the Lord shall inherit the earth. Verse 34 says, wait on the Lord, keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. Sometimes we think, why would God, a loving God, be cutting off wicked people? Why? Because they're the ones that oftentimes causes your waiting make miserable, right? God wants us all to look at, but even though when God allows those things to happen, to those who actually are in Him, He promises these things. And if you do believe it, I mean, and wait on Him in His time, according to that verse, what He makes all things? What? Beautiful. He makes all things beautiful. Okay, let's go on. Psalm 39:7, and now, Lord, what do I wait for? And what's his answer? My hope is in what? In you. Okay, Psalm 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined my ear and heard my cry. Oh, boy. That's so very, very meaningful to me, by the way, especially I told you some time ago that my mom, when she was really counted to just die a year ago, she cried on the Lord. She's 93, and now she's alive. Well, I don't have to repeat all that thing, but this verse is meaningful to me because of that. My mom cried on the Lord, and the Lord heard it. Now, Psalm 69:6, let not those who wait for you, O Lord, God of hosts, be ashamed because of me. Let not those who seek you be confounded because of me, O God of Israel. Galatians 5:5, for we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Romans 8:18-25, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope, for why does one still hope for what he sees? But if he hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. These are all the texts. And the question is, what do all these verses call us to do? Wait. Wait on the Lord. Right? And now the waiting becomes very meaningful when we know what we are waiting for on the Lord. Unless you don't know what you're waiting for on the Lord. Well, many of us also are waiting. He's coming. So, when he comes, he'll bring us there. But more than that, he actually will save us from all the cruelties and evil doings in this world, that's all the injustices, right? That's what he said. He will execute all those things. Why? For the sake of what? Of his people. He loves his people, and that's why we wait on him. You see, when you haven't really experienced suffering, you won't really appreciate much of that waiting. I remember when I was reading about the history of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, especially before there was a Seventh-day Adventist Church, the Millerites, right? They were waiting. And think about it. What did they do? They sold all their properties. Why? Would you do that also if you know that God is coming soon tomorrow? Oh, of course. Well, because they felt certain about the date, right? See, when you really expect, besides expecting that to be happening, you will anticipate it. You will do something, right? To be prepared for it. And that's what they did. Sometimes I wonder if it's beneficial for God to reveal when he is coming. Because if we know that he's coming tonight, we'll do something, right? But we don't know when he is coming. He did not disclose that to us. So, how do we wait? We wait as if he is coming anytime. In fact, he may come today as we talk, as we speak, as we study the scripture. And if he is coming today, and if we count that come today, we know that we have to be prepared right there so that when he comes anytime, we are prepared, right? So that is actually active anticipation. You see, anticipation and expectation builds faith, our faith, and trust. Because if you really believe what you are expecting, and if you anticipate it, it shows that you really trust him. And in your trust, when things happen, so even simple things that you ask the Lord, when they happen, they build trust, right? Just an example of, I always use the word falling in line during potluck. When you wait there or you are in line, have you observed people, what they are doing? Are they just standing there in the line and say, okay, my turn. I'll just wait my turn. Then step forward if somebody step. And then step quietly. Is that all what you do? You know what? I've seen a lot of people. Actually, if you observe them, some of them talk to each other, right? Why is that? Because they know that waiting involves time. Time. And for me, especially an impatient person who doesn't like time, and that especially when I do something, I like to accomplish so many things in a short period of time, I try to do so many things that I multitask. And for that multitasker, it cannot bear to just waiting, just standing there like that, in line just to get a food. So to utilize that time, we talk. And some, especially now these days with all these gadgets, some just wait. And then they forget that they have to move forward. So, right? Or some people don't. Very few actually don't do anything. What was my point? In waiting, as you anticipate things to happen, you do something worthwhile. You don't just simply do things that have no value for you, right? You do something. But for us who are waiting for the Lord, what do we do? Now, we always talk about waiting for his second coming. What about his other promises for us? Like, for example, I'll take care of you. You are going through trials in life. Do you do something as well? Like, or, for example, you can't find your keys. It's almost getting to the point where you have to come to church for early or to any appointment, and you cannot find your keys. What do you do? Okay, Lord, I'll wait on you. My keys are lost. You say that you will do something for me, so I'll wait. Do you think that keys will drop on right in front of you? No. I've experienced that so many times. Many times I cannot find my keys, all I do. And the thing is this. It also depends on what you do for the waiting to be worthwhile. So, I mean, for example, looking for my keys, I look all around and tumble everything as if hurricane went through my house and I could not find it. And then when finally I remember I have to pray and kneel down and say, Lord, thank you. I pray that you will show me the key. And then suddenly when I open my eyes, it's right there. Oftentimes, We delegate prayer towards the last, like a last resort, right? I think any time we wait on the Lord, any time, after all, the book of Psalms is all about prayer, songs of prayers. We need to communicate with God as well. And not only that, what do we do? Okay. We don't just simply have, we really are, the eagerness is like, well, let me read to you a paragraph from our lesson. It says, especially in the third paragraph, waiting on the Lord is more than just hanging on. It is a deep longing for God that is compared to an intense thirst in a dry land. Have you felt thirsty before? What do you do when you're thirsty? Okay. I'll wait until some water come around. You look for it, right? Why? Because you anticipate that it will be fulfilled and you would do something while you wait on the Lord. Same thing with all the blessings of God. You do His biddings, and not only that, you also try to utilize your time by recalling the things in the past that He has done. Well, I'm going ahead of myself now. Well, but waiting somehow can involve some groaning and pains, especially when it involves suffering. Suffering makes waiting difficult. But when you know Jesus, that He is with you, it becomes easy, right? Why? Because as He promised in Romans chapter 8, verse 22, the Lord abides with His people. If you wait on the Lord, He abides in you. The problem is not that He is not abiding in us. You remember the time when the disciples were Jesus Christ on the boat, where there was this, in the midst of the storm, what were they doing? The Lord was with them. And yet they had little faith. They were so scared. They woke up, oh, don't you care that we perish? Didn't they know that He really cared? Actually, the past things that He has done before that happened should actually have assured them, hey, the Lord being with you is an assurance that He really cares. See, the problem is not that God is not with us. The problem is that we don't abide in Him. See, that's why He said in John, abide in me and I in what? The abiding must be mutual. Even though God might keep on pursuing you and you keep going away, doesn't help at all, right? See, that's why there's that intense longing. The psalmist waits on many blessings from God, but his yearning to be brought close to his God surpasses any other desire and need in life. Is that your ultimate goal? And that is to be brought close to God? Oh, there are so many things the world offers us. Can offer us so many attractive things, though that's we tend to delegate closeness and intimacy to the Lord towards the end. That we don't give priority to be close to the Lord. We don't spend time with Him. Because if we don't spend time with Him, what assurance do you get? Even though He has promised all these things, He doesn't fulfill. His promises are not fulfilled in your life because you haven't really been pursuing that, or it is not something that is of importance to you. It's not your priority, and that's what our lesson says. See, we as Adventists as well have responsibility in waiting on the Lord, right? And what's our responsibility? As we wait on the Lord, Oh, yeah, we like to wait on the Lord. Lord, yeah, you promised this thing and that thing. I read in scripture, you promised that you will take care of me, you will provide all my needs and everything. Which we wait, and that's good to wait for. And those are good to expect from God, and he will fulfill them. But somehow, when they are not being fulfilled, we fret. Why? Because we're not waiting for things that is really that important and really necessary in our lives. You know, so many things that we do in our lives are not really necessary. And we think they are necessary. We think we need them. But God knows what we need them most, right? And that's why if we wait on the Lord as Adventists, we need to wait for things that is really of value to God. What are our responsibilities as Adventists? While we wait for our coming, what's the number one responsibility that you and I have as we wait?
Spread the word.
Exactly. Message. You see, when you wait for God, you don't just say, okay, I'll do all my whatever is profitable for me. You talk about what you're waiting for. Again, I'm using always the illustration of falling in line. You know, many times when I fall in line, for falling in line potluck, I look at the food, even though I'm so far. And I said, okay, I know what I'm getting. I really like that. Oh, wow, I see that. I was many times, whoever is next to me, I said, I think I like that. I talked about it. And I said, yeah, I wonder who cooked that. Why? What you're waiting for, you talk about. And before you know it, it's your turn, right? Before you know it, time flies. Probably the waiting on the Lord is boring because we don't talk about what we're waiting for. But if we talk about what we're waiting for to others who are next to us, believe you me, it will be very, very refreshing, very exciting, and very fulfilling. And that's why, if we truly believe what we wait for, if we truly believe in Jesus Christ, if we truly believe that he abides in us, if we truly believe that he guarantees all his promises will fulfill to us, we will share those things and say, wow, it's so exciting. The Lord did this to me, or the Lord has promised this to us. They will happen before you know it, even without you preaching. Before you know it, even without you going knocking on the doors, just talking about those things with your friends, before you know it, you don't realize they get you interested. Wait a minute, what is he so excited about? What is these things that are exciting to him? They become curious. Eventually, you know, the Lord, with the Holy Spirit working in their hearts, they can be led to Jesus Christ. That is why as Adventists, while we wait for the coming of our Lord, we do pray for that, right? All those things. Oh, by the way, I have gone so far out on Sunday. Let's go to Monday. Peace of the weaned heart. This is in Psalm 131. I like this because there's only one passage, and let's read it, 131. Okay. And I like to read it because it's a whole chapter, it's only three chapters. Three verses, I mean. And it's a psalm attributed to King David himself. And he's talking about himself in this. And there are only three verses. The first two verses he talks about himself, and the last verse he gives us a challenge. Verse 1, it says, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things too profound for me. What is David saying here, the psalmist? He's talking about haughtiness, loftiness, and concerning oneself with great matters and profound things. Okay, you probably will say, what does that have to do with waiting? Well, it's true. Sometimes when waiting can be so self-centered because, if you are so engrossed with what is set for you only, and that's, it can be focused on self, right? But then he talks about haughtiness, loftiness, and being so concerned on great matters and profound things. And he contrasts that, he says, who he is not. To verse 2, he says, surely I have calmed and quieted my soul. Wow, what a contrast. When I read this verse, I said, here David is contrasting haughtiness, arrogance, and pride to calmness and quietness. What's the significance of that? I said. Well, not only is he contrasting that, he is contrasting uneasiness of most people who are really concerning on great matters and comparing it to a matured security of a child who is weaned, especially in verse 2. He says, surely I have calmed and quieted my soul. I, like a weaned child with his mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. That's a nice metaphor. Actually, he's talking about his calmness and quietness of his soul as a weaned child. For those of you who have experienced what weaning a child is, you probably know what it entails. I have a grandson, as you probably know, and his mom is trying to wean her from her. Trying to wean him from her. Because they will be on a trip for a whole month, and they have to leave my grandchild to us. And of course, there's a certain period of time that my grandson has to be used to us so that he won't be anxious, right? A child who is not weaned, you know what it is. Well, you know how you will expect he will be stressed, right? There's a separation anxiety, and that's what we experienced the first night that he slept with us. That was over a week ago. And he would not sleep. But now, he was getting used to, especially me, I would carry him, and he would child until he fall asleep. Here's a weaned child. Today, he's almost there. He's almost there, he likes it. Every time he sees me, he laughs. Just seeing me even from afar, even when right now, I will see him right now, he will smile. I think that he is already on that process of weaning, being weaned, right? The last time he was with us, he was sleeping very nicely, and suddenly in the middle of the night, he woke up and looked, and he cried and cried, and I grabbed him, and he was crying, and though he was so sleepy, he stopped crying and then looked at me straight like that. And as soon as he sees my face, he fell asleep. And I said to myself, wow, that's a nice illustration. He became calm and quiet just by looking at my face. In this world, there's a lot of trouble. There's a lot of stresses and anxiety, especially as we wait for the coming of Christ. Or as we wait for the fulfillment of all his blessings and all his promises to us. And the reason we are so anxious and stressed out is because we don't know who is carrying us. But if we looked at his face, and then we become calm. That's why I like that song. You know, look upon Jesus. And he says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things on earth will grow strangely, what? Dim in the light of his glory and grace. And that is the beauty of waiting on the Lord. When you look upon his face, you will have the peace like you had as a wind or a wind child. Well, okay, let's move on. Bringing in the sheaves. Tuesday, Psalm 126. This is a little longer, but not so long, so let's read it anyway. When the Lord brought, that's Psalm 126, verse 1. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are so glad. And then bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing in his sheaves with him. Wow. I said, when I read this, I said, well, there's something interesting. And by the way, the author of our lesson also pointed it out. You notice that he starts with a captivity. He says, brought back into captivity of back the captivity of Zion. Thus, it's in past tense. But if you look at verse 4, it says, bring back our captivity, O Lord, and the streams in the south. At first, it doesn't make sense. He said he brought back captivity into Zion, and then he is asking for bringing back the captivity again. I said, what does that mean? Well, if you really look and you go through the whole verses, he is talking about the past actions of God bringing back the captivity of Israel to Zion. And you know, as you go through and you look back into the history of Israel, you know how they have always been in captivity and back, and in captivity and back, right? And sometimes we have to learn from our past to really know. But the psalmist here is recalling the past that God has done to the captives of Israel, bringing them back. And because he knows and he refreshes in his mind the things that God has done in the past, he is assured and he has that passion and belief that God can do the same thing now that he is there in captivity. Now, what's the point of our lesson? Why did it mention that? You see, it is important for us to refresh our minds of what God has done in the past for us so that as we experience similar things, as we wait, these past things can encourage us, right? Because if you forget all those things of what he's done, like Israel of old, God did all miracles for them, parted the Red Sea, took care of them, fed them in the wilderness, and still they kept complaining. Why? Because even though the things that he has done was just right there, they're not being refreshed in their mind. Somehow, doubts about their God still lurks in. You want to erase your doubts about God? Think of how he led you in the past. Oh boy, I wish that on every Sabbath, we will talk about what he has done for you, for us, through the week. Okay, I know we don't have much time, but what am I trying to point out? Waiting on the Lord can become so easy if we keep the things of what God has done for us in the past, which will assure us and give us courage as we wait for the fulfillment of what our for the present time, right? I remember, let me read to you one of the things that you all know. Ellen White wrote this, Selected Messages, Book 3. We have nothing to fear for the future except as we what? As we forget the way what? God led us and his teachings in our past history. That's why it's really necessary. Because when we do that, if we look at it, we will bring the sheaves. Okay, now, Wednesday, I'll skim through Wednesday and Thursday very quickly. Waiting on the Sabbath. Oh, I mentioned that, actually. These things are nice to refresh even during Sabbath day. Oh, how we wish that we can always think about God through the Sabbath, right? And anyway, Psalm 92. That's quite a long chapter that we probably don't have time to read on, and I trust that you have studied your lesson, but it will encourage us about God's thoughts about about the Sabbath rest, and especially as we wait. And I'll jump right away to Thursday. Joy comes in the morning. The author gave several verses, but we don't have time to read them. And it's asking what time of the day is symbolically portrayed as the time of divine redemption and why. We're talking about the morning, joy in the morning. In summary, all I can say is this. When you wait, even when you go through sufferings or trials, and maybe even temptations, there is always hope in the morning. See, God has not promised skies will always be blue, but there's always beyond the clouds, the sun is what? Always shining. We talk about morning and night. Night symbolizes what? Darkness and despair and all that. But after that, there's joy in the morning. And we talk about the blessed hope. We call it blessed morning. That's basically what our lesson is trying to point out. So, waiting on the Lord can be exciting. And we are finishing here. And thank you for listening. Though we have a lot more things to say, I'd like to once again repeat that if you're interested in getting a CD or a DVD of this presentation today, please call us at 916-457-6511 or email us at csh@saccentral.org. csh@saccentral.org. Make sure you specify whether you want a CD or a DVD, or and please don't forget to put your address so that we can mail this in to you. Thank you very much.